All right, Exodus chapter 4 is where we are this afternoon. About Moses and this little weird episode here they would label him that, and he's one of the most famous people in history. Exodus chapter 4, verse 24, says, "And it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him." So Moses has been prepared, equipped, and now he's being sent back to Egypt. And the angel of the Lord finds him, or the Lord meets him and seeks to kill him, and it just is weird. "Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet, and said, 'Surely a bloody husband art thou to me.' So he let him go. Then she said, 'A bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision.'" All right, those are the three verses we're going to talk about. And they are weird. I'm trying to build up a little bit of suspense. You know, there's a weird thing going on here. But it makes sense. It all makes sense why this is happening. Let's pray and we'll talk about all that. Father, thank you for your words. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for Renee leading singing. It sounded good. And just thank you for the many blessings you bless us with. Pray you'd give me safety traveling back up to Fort Worth and help us with this whole situation with my dad and transitioning to a new place and, just his health, his mental health and all that. I pray that your grace would be abundant. Thank you for the answered prayers already, for the smooth move from the hospital to the rehab. That was very easy and helpful. Thank you again for just how good you are to us. And I pray these verses, you'd help me say what you need said, what needs to be said about the explanation of this. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so Moses, little background. So Moses has wrestled with his calling for the last couple chapters. And he did. He really wrestled with it. And he said he's slow of speech. He said no one will believe him. And those things are true. He was slow of speech. And if he just showed up and started telling people you need to follow me, no one would probably believe him. And he said no one will listen. And at each point, the Lord gave an answer to the excuse. And you could say excuse, it's an excuse not to serve the Lord, but it is a true reason that he had, but it's more or less an excuse. And the Lord gave an answer at each sort of excuse he had. And the Lord now, in a very weird turn of events, sends Moses back into Egypt to rescue the people. And on the way back to Egypt, I imagine how this plays out. It seems like he goes back, and there is a clear understanding about the sign that God had given Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the circumcision, and what that signified, really. And it wasn't being done, probably wasn't being done by any of the Israelites in Egypt, including Moses, or including Yeah, including Moses and his family. And so even though they were a little bit outside of Egypt and had left. But as Moses goes back into Egypt, he's met by the Lord, and his life is in danger. And I don't know if it's manifested in like a sickness. I don't know if he just becomes deathly ill. I don't know how this thing manifests itself, but it's clear his life is in danger. And what's furthermore clear is his life is in danger because his family is not practicing the thing God had given Abraham and then Isaac and Moses, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to do with their family to as a sign or a symbol of righteousness. And so as Moses heads back, he becomes sick or threatened with death in some way. And it's clear to his wife that their family is not prepared for this, what's about to happen. And so she does what either Moses was unwilling to do or just neglected to do, whatever the case is. It's apparent that Zipporah knew what needed to happen. And she was a little bit bitter about it. A little bit frustrated that this responsibility had fallen on her to deal with this. And so she does the circumcision with the boys that they have, and the threat of death is removed from Moses' life. And there's three things in these three verses that this teaches that I find here. The first is pretty simple, and it's about getting back to basics. The very first thing, the sign that God had given Abraham back in Genesis 17, it was weird. It was circumcision, but it was a very good symbol of the imputed righteousness or the covenant that God would make with the descendants of Jacob, with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and that family. And it's in Genesis 17, verses 9 through 14, if you want to make a note of it. But that was a very basic start of the relationship that was a responsibility of these family members. And now here's Moses getting ready to go back and to minister to the Israelites in a way that provides redemption and rescue from Egypt and removes them from the danger of that nation and the slavery and the bondage that is associated with Egypt. And Moses is getting ready to go back and rescue the people. But he hasn't even done the very first thing that was required in the family by God. And that becomes instantly apparent that the very, you know, the first steps, the basics, get the basics down. And there's just certain things that have to be in place in order to, like we talked about this morning, in order to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what the Lord really reminds Moses of and his family. Like, you got to get back to the basics here. We're gonna get the first things first here. And it reminds me a couple of things about, even in the New Testament, about when men get called to the ministry or have a desire to be in the ministry. That's equally, those things are equally valuable. You can have a call to the ministry because you had a desire to serve in the ministry, and the Lord can extend a call to a person like that. That's what Paul said to Timothy. He said, you know, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good thing. And so it can start with a want. It can start with a desire. But the desire to do that is not all that's required. He says, that, oh, look, if someone's going to be and hold this office of elder or bishop, here's a few things they need to qualify in first. And he gives a list. And what it is, it's just basic things that have to be in place or that ought to be in place. And if they're not, you're gonna run into trouble in those areas. But these things are just basic elements that are foundational for someone who's going to take this ministry upon themselves, or not say on themselves, but be given the ministry that the Lord's going to give them. And so here's point number one, really. Moses has to he's got to deal with the basics. He's got to get back to square one here. Step one. Back to the basics. He's threatened with death because, I don't know if it's sickness or how it manifests itself, but it's clear that this impending death of Moses is related to the fact that his family is not participating in the covenant the way that they're supposed to participate in it. And this falls on Zipporah, which brings me to the second point. So first point is back to the basics. You got to get back to the basics is don't get ahead of God. Get the things in order that need to be in order before you take on the world and before you, take on these responsibilities. Because inevitably, someone who's going to serve the Lord in that capacity as a minister in that some way, all the weaknesses will be exposed. All the trouble areas will be made broader. All of those things will be exposed and pressured if there's stuff there that can be broken, it will be broken. So back to the basics. Get the foundation right. Get that right. And Zipporah does that, and she does it kind of frustrated. And this brings us to the second point of what she says. She says, "You're a bloody husband to me. You're a bloody husband. This covenant is bloody, and I don't like this." And that is akin to when I think about it in the New Testament, it's like the reproach of Christ. In fact, the reproach of Christ and the offense of the cross are essentially the same thing. The reproach of Christ, the offense of the cross, they're essentially the same things. And it is to the world, that reproach and that offense is a foolish and unnecessary assault on the flesh. They don't understand, put it in simple terms, like this. The world doesn't understand, for instance, why if you're in high school, why don't you party like us? Well, because I have a higher calling. I mean, not that I'm better, it's just these things aren't part of my life. Drugs, alcohol, all these relationships, this isn't a part of my life with the Lord. And so the world doesn't understand that. They just see someone who is a goody-two-shoes. They don't understand why someone would avoid the things of the flesh like that. Why does it matter? And the world doesn't understand why it matters. Now, when you see Jesus Christ on the cross dying for sin, dying for the illicit relationships and all the sin that people do, and you understand how God views sin, it matters. It matters what you do with your body. It matters how you handle your relationships, those kinds of things. And so the world seems to, they see the reproach, or I should say Christ as sort of and the cross as sort of a foolish and unnecessary assault on the flesh. Like, why do you act this way? If you remember, it was said of Moses that he leaves Egypt, and by faith, he chose the reproach of Christ rather than the pleasures of sin for a season. That was the crossroads. Do I choose the reproach of Christ, kind of like the cross of Christ, or do I choose the pleasures of sin? And Moses chooses the reproach. He avoids the pleasures of sin for the season, and he chooses the reproach. And so all those things are connected with this bloody religion. The religion is something that calls for the flesh to die. The flesh has to be dead. It's no good. You can't trust what it says. You can't believe what it says. You have to deny this body. It's full of sin at this point. It has unholy desires, and so all of those things take someone away from the Lord. And so this circumcision, just as a note here, the circumcision is like the putting off of the flesh. It's like what Paul said in Romans. You know, the putting off of the flesh is seen in Romans 4, 11, and 12. It's akin to the Holy Spirit of God. In Colossians 2. In fact, you ought to read this. Look in Colossians chapter 2. I'll show you this verse here. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Says about Jesus Christ, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. So the circumcision was a picture of the Holy Spirit of God removing the body of flesh in this way, in a spiritual way, circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So that's the view of the body. And that circumcision, God gives Abraham that circumcision as a token of a covenant, and as a picture of a spiritual truth that will become really evident in the New Testament, that the body of this flesh has to be put off. It's a reminder in Abraham's day. It's a reminder to Abraham of his relationship to God. And Abraham's the one that needed to be reminded of that. God didn't need to be reminded of that. In the same way that the Holy Spirit is a reminder to the believer. It's what he says in John 14, I'll bring to remembrance these things. Circumcision was also a seal of God's covenant in the same way the Spirit of God is a seal. He says that in Corinthians. He says that in Ephesians. It's sealed with the Spirit of God. So those two things, the circumcision and the Spirit of God, are very similar. One's a picture of the other. And so when Moses doesn't do that, he's about to embark on this work without doing the basic things, without having the seal or the token or the blessing of God in this, and that puts the responsibility on Zipporah, and she does what needs to be done with the boys. She circumcises the boys and then gets on to Moses and says, you're a bloody husband, and I kind of resent that you're not taking care of this. And this whole bloody stuff is it's a bloody religion. It is. It's bloody. And the reason it's bloody is because these bodies are they're sinful. They're full of sin. And they have to be put down. But this brings us to another thing here about Zipporah. And this may be a little bit specific. It deals with resentment in marriage. And Zipporah is frustrated. This is the third point, by the way, if you're keeping track here. So Zipporah is frustrated with Moses because she's had to do this bloody thing that Moses was either unwilling to do or just neglected to do. Point is, Zipporah does it, and she kind of resents having to do it. And in any marriage, really, when one spouse decides to abandon responsibilities, it's going to breed resentment, It's going to breed resentment in the other spouse. And in ministry, there's more responsibilities placed on the husband and wife, and therefore more ways for resentment to show up. You know, there are people that you know right now. You may not know that you know them. You know them, that are dealing with family resentment and having to flesh out resentment within the family, pastors. Resentment within the family that has to be straightened out before anything else can be done in the ministry. And some of this stuff goes back to getting the first things right. You have to get the first things right and build the house the way it needs to be built. But sometimes things show up and you get caught up in ministry and things get neglected and it breeds resentment. And this has happened here with now Moses and Zipporah. It happens in the ministry. And I say this, there are these kinds of things can be very hard on people in their family, obviously. It can be hard on pastors, it can be hard on pastors' families. There's enough that happens and I said it would be specific here, because Moses is in a position really that not every Israelite is in. But there's enough that goes on in the ministry that breeds resentment and breeds discontent and breeds bitterness. And if there are areas where the devil can get in and expose that and make it worse, it absolutely will do it. It will happen. It will just happen. I'll give you a couple of thoughts just on ministry particularly. There are more responsibilities on Moses than there are other Israelites at this point. That's a reality. He just has more responsibility than every other Israelite in Egypt has. And that's part of that. It's God-given. It comes from God. There's part of it that comes from God, and there's going to be part of it that comes from people, because people are going to expect more of Moses. He's going to be the leader, and they're going to expect more of him. Then I think about comparing, and some of you have been in ministry, some of you understand this stuff. But you think about the way ministry is done and the way we think about ministry. For instance, I'll give you an example. Those of you that work a job, you go, you work your job, and you come home, you clock in, you clock out, right? The ministry is different because the whole family clocks in. And the boss says the whole family needs to do this. When you go to your job, your wife isn't expected to show up. When you go to your job, your kids aren't expected to show up. In the ministry, everyone's expected to show up. And it's a little bit different. I'm not saying this stuff in a bad way, so please don't take me wrong. I'm just explaining something. And these things can build resentment because they are different. For instance, I'll give you another one. When an employer hires you, they didn't hire your wife. When a pastor's hired, the wife is hired, the kids are hired. Now, they don't get paid for what they do, but they're all hired. They're all part of the job. And so having a house that's in order and having some basic things done, when God addresses Moses the way he does, It's part of it is from God, and part of it is because of the expectations the people are going to have. Another thing, you know, in this job, in the ministry, sometimes, and sometimes like for our church, you know, you have a pastor, you also have, and this happens in a lot of churches, but along with that pastor salary and stuff, you get a nursery director, you get a piano player, you get XYZ. That doesn't happen in other jobs. So it's just a little bit different, and I'm saying this because these things, if people aren't careful, they build resentment. And with Zipporah, she looks at her husband and she resents the fact that this responsibility has fallen to me. Why do I have to deal with this? Why won't you deal with this? And this really zealous Moses, who is, there's another issue that can come up. You can get very zealous for serving the Lord. Moses, I want to serve the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. All right, here's how you're going to serve the Lord. Well, I don't know if I can do that. I mean, I want to serve him. I want to serve you this way, but I don't know if I can do that. And so the Lord goes through that, and he has his excuses and things like that. And the idea is you get zealous for the Lord, and I don't want to say you get too spiritual. It's not really a thing of being too spiritual. It's just a thing of getting so zealous you neglect your marriage. You neglect things that need to be taken care of that you have duties to take care of. And so that breeds resentment. And this whole thing with Moses and Zipporah, it's going to show up again later. I mean, when the people are going to, well, Miriam, Moses' sister, is going to get on to Moses for who he married. And God's not going to be too happy about that either. But this whole thing, it makes perfect sense why the Lord does what he does in order to prepare Moses, prepare his wife, and get them established in what they need to be established in, so that what he's about to do is going to be effective, it's going to honor the Lord, and there's already going to be enough bumps in the road to this whole thing, but you don't want the cracks to start showing up in the family. So the Lord deals with this way and exposes some things and starts to, I don't know, he tries to address something that needs to be addressed in the family before Moses gets too involved in the ministry. And like I said, I read this and it makes perfect sense what's happening here, why the Lord would do this. Because you look in your own life, if you've been married long or trying to serve the Lord long or been in the ministry, you understand, man, there's pressure from, there's responsibility given to you from the Lord, there's pressure from people, there's expectations, sometimes they're reasonable, sometimes they're not reasonable, and it's a different kind of thing. And so therefore, if you're going to enter into this thing with the Lord, like Paul says, look, you if you're going to find someone who's going to enter into this field, there needs to be a few things in place. Just like there's a few qualifications for a job, the qualifications for a pastor, for an elder, for a deacon, and there's even qualifications for a deacon's wife. So there's these things need to be in place, because the weaknesses will be exposed and they will be manipulated and used against you. And so Zipporah, like she says, you're a bloody husband to me. There's some resentment there, obviously. And she's explaining or reflecting on the nature of this relationship to God. It's a bloody thing, and it is a bloody thing. But there's obviously things that need to be worked out here, and they seem to get worked out. But the Lord deals with this before he puts Moses into the place of deliverer. So he deals with this before he puts him in the place of deliverer. So anyhow, just a few thoughts on that. I hope it came out right. I'm trying to just explain it, and it's not bad. It's not whatever. It's just some of this stuff is just the way it is. And so I hope that's helpful in understanding this. Moses has a lot of steps he goes through before he actually delivers the people. And there's a lot of training, there's a lot of preparations, family preparations, personal preparations, and all that, because the job he's about to take on is a very big job. It's a very big job. So anyhow, hope that's helpful. I'm not going to drag it out. I'm not going to repeat myself anymore. So let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your words. There's a lot of practical stuff in here, and I pray it comes up across that way, that serving you is not just a matter of, hey, I want to do it. There's things that have to get worked out, things that need to be in place that would honor you in the service. And so I pray that pray that we'd understand these things and understand you better, understand our Bibles better, understand why you wrote down the things you had written down, and make the applications where they need to be made. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for this time together. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.